John saw a magnificent woman in heaven. She wore the sun as a garment. The moon was under her feet. Upon her head was a garland of 12 stars. Then John noticed that she was with child, and the time for birth had arrived. Then someone else appeared, a great fiery red dragon with 7 heads, 7 diadems, and 10 horns. Twitching his tail like a cat ready to pounce on its prey. And with his tail, he knocked down a third of the stars. Yet the child, who was the Son of God, was caught up into heaven. The woman fled the fierce dragon, going into the wilderness, where God fed her for 1260 days. Then there was a war in heaven. Michael the archangel with his angels fighting the dragon and his angels. The dragon, who is the serpent of old, the devil, that great adversary of God's people known as Satan, was cast out of heaven as a result of the war, and he was thrown down to the earth. His angels were also cast down with him to the earth. And this is the next thing that happened. Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death." Yes, the great fiery red dragon that is large enough to throw down a third of the stars of the heaven is here on earth with us. Nevertheless, do not despair, because we can defeat him, although we must be willing to pay the price that Jesus paid. And he did not love his life to the death. Yes, the seven-headed dragon is here, but a loud voice in heaven announced good news, saying, there is salvation, strength, a kingdom, and power. And this voice was saying these things for our benefit. We are the ones who possess the salvation, the strength, the kingdom, and the power. Therefore, brethren, be strong. Do not fear the one who hates us with a passion. Yes, the dragon will fight us fiercely. But do not be worried. Because you know something? Heaven doesn't seem to be worried. Nor should we be. Why should we not fear and worry? Well, listen to this declaration that's made here in verses 10 and 11. First, salvation has come. God can save us from our sins, He can certainly save us from this dragon. Second, strength has come. True, we are not able to fight the dragon alone. But with strength from God, we are well able to overcome. If we would pray for the health of our spirits more than we pray for the health of our bodies, we would be far more courageous in fighting this Satan. Therefore, brethren, please pray that God would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That's what Paul prayed for the Ephesian church in Ephesians 3:16. That God may grant you, he said, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Pray for those things. I mean, look how much we pray for our bodies. Look how much we make requests to the church and to others for our health. And when we have medical problems and so on, keep praying those things. But now let's put the emphasis, an even greater emphasis, upon the Spirit. That's what the Lord does in the Word. Third, the voice in heaven announced that the kingdom of our God has come. We have already learned in chapters 1 and 11 of the book of Revelation that the kingdom has come. If salvation and strength have come, then the kingdom has come. We're in the kingdom now. That is not some, excuse me, that is not some future reality after the second coming of Christ. While the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, there is a kingdom over which Satan has no dominion and whose walls he cannot breach. That kingdom is the kingdom of God. It's the one being spoken about in this passage, and it's the one that we are members of. We're citizens in that kingdom. Fourth, the voice announced, the power of God's Christ has come. Please listen, brethren. We are not powerless. For we have the power of Christ. Everything that Jesus used to defeat the chief adversary, we also have available to us. Fifth, the voice from heaven announced that the accuser of our brethren has been cast down. God is well aware of what this evil dragon does. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That means of us. Satan accuses us. He makes accusations about us before God day and night. The dragon is 100% committed to accusing us. He is relentless. Accusing us at every opportunity, day and night. The moment he sees us let down our guard, man, he takes advantage of it. Remember Job. The dragon looks at someone like Job, who had incredible credentials. But the dragon tore at him viciously, trying to tear him down. The dragon went after Peter. In fact, in Luke chapter 22, Jesus, knowing that there had been a confrontation between the dragon and God, revealed to Peter these words found in Luke 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. And Jesus indicated in the next verse that God had granted the request. Because God told Peter that once he had come back, that he was to pray for his brethren. The implication was, Peter, you're going to fall. This is going to be really tough, Peter. And God has granted the dragon's request. And he's coming at you, breathing fire with his fangs out. He wants to sink his teeth into you, and you're going to struggle. But then be ready to come back. Interestingly, Peter, writing years later in what we call 1 Peter chapter 5, gave us a warning. And Peter certainly knew what he was talking about when he said in 1 Peter 5:8 these words, "Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Peter knew that firsthand. Peter had tangled with the lion. He had fought with the dragon. And he was injured. But he got back up. And he became stronger. We can do the same thing. That's what now Revelation 12, verse 11 is about. So what do we do? This dragon's down here with us. What do we do? Well, Revelation 12, 11 shows how the saints in the past fought against the great fiery red dragon and won. And what is revealed here by the voice in heaven is a combination of what God has done for us and what we need to do. And there, the voice said that it is by three things that we overcome Satan. Number one, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus has already done the primary or main work. He shed his blood so that we can be forgiven. So that when the devil goes before God and makes an accusation against you, God says, "Satan, that sin's been forgiven. You can't hold that against him. I've completely erased it." Secondly, the voice said, they overcame him by the word of their testimony, by the word of God. And it wasn't just an intellectual knowledge of it. They truly lived by it. This was a sincere belief. They may have quoted the Scripture, but they quoted because they believed it and because they lived by it. They didn't use Scripture like a good luck charm. No, this is an actual tool. In fact, the Bible calls it a sword. And you know, for swords aren't just for hanging on the wall to look like, wow, this guy really has something nice hanging on his wall. This is a weapon that God fully intends that we use. Third, they overcame Satan by not loving their lives to the death. Sometimes, I mean, literally speaking, we may have to give our lives in our battle against the dragon. More on that later. All right, let's move into verse 12 now. Revelation 12, 12. "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." War shall be gone in heaven when we arrive, because heaven is a place of peace and righteousness, neither of which are the delights of the devil. He did what he could to disrupt heaven, and so when he's cast out of heaven, the heavens, the beings there naturally rejoiced. Hey, that great troublemaker's not here anymore. Because he has been cast down, though, they also said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the sea. And they are saying that because what he tried to do in heaven, he will try to do on the earth. Let every saint be ready to slay the dragon by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by not loving our lives to the death. The dragon, that voice said there in verse 12, has great wrath. Man, he is out to destroy the church and her influence. Therefore, he is happy if we do not lift a voice against evil, but if we lift a voice against one another. He knows that we have intelligence. He knows that we have wisdom. He knows we have boldness, and he knows that we have energy. And he knows those things are dangerous when they are wielded against him in harmony with God's will. So he's perfectly delighted if we take that knowledge, wisdom, boldness, and energy and use it on one another. For then we're not taking people out of his kingdom and bringing them into God's kingdom. And that's what he wants. He loves it when we tear each other apart. He loves it when we find things to tear apart in our brethren. His wrath, according to this text, is especially intense because he knows that he has a short time. He knows the earth shall not last forever. And he knows what is his end. He knows that there is a lake burning with fire and brimstone, and he knows for whom it is prepared. And it's prepared for him. And he wants to do as much damage as he can before he goes down. And he wants to bring along as many people from the earth as he can. He doesn't like being alone. The devil's not a loner. He enjoys fellowship. And he especially enjoys the fellowship of fallen Christians. And he wants us to spend eternity with him in hell. But the book of Revelation was written to say, don't let that happen. And it doesn't have to happen. And you can defeat him rather easily. By the blood of Christ, by living by the Word of God, and by being willing to sacrifice your life. Now, in the next section of this chapter, which is verses 13 through 17, we're going to find that the dragon made war again. Verse 13 says this, now when the dragon saw that he had been cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. The dragon failed at his war in heaven. The dragon failed in his attempt to devour the Christ. Well, who's left? The woman who was introduced earlier in the chapter that we talked about last Lord's Day evening. And so he now goes after the woman. However, since we are that woman, God wants us to know, man, there's a fiery red dragon. He's on your tail, man. He's right behind you. He's after you, but he'll fail again. Just as long as we walk with Jesus Christ, follow him wherever he goes, the dragon won't win. He'll lose a third time. That guy just doesn't learn anything, does he? Verse 14. The woman escaped. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. With the wings of a great eagle, she flew into the wilderness, just like Israel of old. God told His people in the book of Exodus, verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 4, reminding them of how He had delivered them from slavery and brought them now into the wilderness. He said this, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verses 10 through 12, 40 years later, God, through Moses, reminded the people again of their great deliverance from Egypt and how He brought them into the wilderness. He said this, or Moses said, "He found him," that is Israel, "in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him. Therefore, the woman, in Revelation 12, flew to her place in the wilderness." And this is really the rest of the story from what we saw last week in verse 6. How she fled into the wilderness. Well, now we're seeing more about that. The wandering of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai was a type or a shadow of the wandering of the church. The wandering of the church in the wilderness of the world. And there in the wilderness of the world, God nourished her for a time, times, and half a time. Which is the same thing as saying 3.5 years, which is the same as saying 42 months, which is the same thing as saying 1,260 days. All three of those times, and now the fourth one, time, times, and half time, all of those are used here in the book of Revelation. And they're all referring to the same time period. Spiritual Israel, which is the church on this side of the cross, was in the wilderness for 42 months. Interestingly, Israel of the flesh had 42 places where they camped in the wilderness during those 40 years. Now, during this time, John wrote here in Revelation 12 that the woman was away from the presence of the serpent. The serpent could still go after her in some way, but what he was able to do was limited. Hence, the woman was away from the presence of the serpent. And even now, the serpent does not have free and unlimited access to the members of the church. But that does not mean that the serpent gives up. For in verse 15 it now says, "So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood." With an overwhelming destruction like a flood, the serpent went after her. Brethren, listen, please. The serpent hates the woman. That means the serpent hates you. He hates you with a passion. And he will do anything he can to destroy you and your faith. Please be prepared for that. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's just not a pleasant a platitude. Man, that's the truth. It's a dire warning from God. Yes, He hates us, but we are God's people. We belong to the Lamb. And we can overcome the flood-spewing serpent by the blood of the Lamb, by the Word of God, and by not loving our lives to the death. As it is written in Psalm 32, "For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him." Psalm 32:6. The Bible there uses the imagery of a flood, of a horrible storm and a flood, to picture what it's like when we're suffering at the hands of the dragon. Again, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 59, it is written, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." Now, did you notice from where the flood came? Did this dragon dip down with his hand or his foot or whatever into some water and throw it at the woman? Did he with his great tail hit some water and it's, since it's so big, cause a great flood to go gushing after? No, it came from his mouth. He spewed water out of his mouth. In other words, it's by what he says. It's by words. It is by a flood of falsehood. Lies. False accusations. False philosophies. Delusions and evil reports about brethren that he uses to try to destroy us. Again, Psalm 144 uses flood imagery to picture falsehood. In Psalm 144, verses 7 and 8, it is written, "Stretch out your hand from above, rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood." Okay, here the psalmist is equating floodwaters and falsehood, lies. And that's what the chief deceiver seeks to do with us. But back in Revelation 12 and verse 16, we learn that something helped the woman. But the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. The earth helped the woman. Opening its mouth and swallowing the water, even as the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, the ones who withstood Moses and Aaron. And the earth can help God's people in many ways. Sometimes it does it literally by nature itself. I mean, look at how God used the Red Sea. Israel goes through it, the Egyptians follow, and He brings in the Red Sea. Or how about during the battles of Gideon when he fought the Midianites? The Bible says that, if I remember accurately, that more people were killed by the forces in nature than they were killed by the forces of Gideon. Sometimes it is done by friendly governments. The books of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther show the Persians working on behalf of the Jews. Romans chapter 13 shows that God uses friendly governments to help us. And sometimes it's just by the people of the world. They may not necessarily join with us, but they like us. They like the way we live. They like the things we do. They find us to be pleasant people, so they help us. Brethren, let us not forget that all of everything, and I mean all of time, all of nature, all of politics, all of everything, is on the earth. It exists for the benefit of the church. The earth is here for us. We need to understand, we're just not a little group of people whom God hardly notices. This earth continues to exist because of the Savage Street Church of Christ, among many others, of course. Isaiah 43 has a wonderful promise that I think we really need to make sure that we hold on to at all times, especially when someone levels false accusations against you. Remember this passage. Hold on to it. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, God said, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Finally, let's look at this last passage about the great adversary. Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, he failed at his war in heaven. He failed to devour the Christ. And now he's failed to kill the woman. No wonder he's enraged. He can't succeed. The guy's a big failure. Therefore, he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. He could not win against the church as a group. So he selects individuals. He seeks to tear us down individually. And this is how we know that the woman here is talking about the church. Because who are her offspring? Those who keep the commandments of God and those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Oh, brethren, do not let the dragon devour you. Brethren, this is serious business which may require your life. But hey, when you were baptized, you should have understood at that time, you weren't just going through a ceremony that you have to go through in order to get to heaven. You were dying to self. Baptism is part funeral. You were dead. You made the decision, I'm now going to be dead to myself. And so you had to be buried because we don't like to leave dead people laying around. We bury them. But God doesn't want you to stay down there. That's why we don't drown you when you're under the water. We bring you right back up because you're now resurrected, no longer to live for self. Now you're living for Jesus Christ. That's why we can't love our lives to the death. Continue to die to self, for you may be called upon to die in the flesh. And brethren, I'll tell you what, the more powerful that the forces of secularism are becoming in this world, the more we need to be prepared for that. The devil is a relentless and ruthless enemy. He will not quit attacking us through foe or friend. Remember Revelation 12:11, please. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives to the death. Be washed in the blood of Christ today, please. If you're not a part of the woman yet, and we're going to learn some great things about who this woman, how she's presented to God later in the book of Revelation. Magnificent sight that we're going to see in Revelation 19. Man, I want to tell you, if you're not part of that woman yet, if you're not part of the church yet, if you've never been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, please don't delay anymore. We've got a baptistry right back here full of water, warm water, I'll add. We've got rubberized clothing for you to put on. You don't have to worry about a thing. God's taking care of everything, and we've tried to do everything we can too. The only thing that needs to take place is for you to make the decision. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to turn from my life of sin, and I'm ready. What do I need to do next? Well, you need to be baptized in Jesus, and you ought to do it today. If you need to talk more about it, or there's just some things you're not sure about, hey, we'll help you there too. But if you've made the decision and you're ready, come forward right now, please, as we stand.